right, guys, welcome back to hour two of the Beyond the Official Narrative. I'm your substitute host, William Rebillum, filling in for Richard Carey tonight. Please do go to republicbroadcasting.org and donate whatever you can, folks. We are listener supported, and the hosts here don't make money, as far as I know. I don't think any hosts are making money. Definitely not directly. And I am a donator to the show. So, you know, we do this work for free here. And this is just about getting the truth out and fighting evil and in the best way we know how, using our intelligence, using our research, and then sharing that research with everybody else, having these discussions, getting information from you. If you want to call in, please do. It's 512-248-8252. Love to get your comments. We got Dan in Washington that called in the last hour. We'd love to hear some from more of you. So please do call in if you have any comments about what we discussed in the previous hour, these assessment tests, weird Talmudic assessment tests, which I believe are smoke screens so that they can racially discriminate and then, you know, give you a, oh, you didn't pass the assessment. And then the test is ridiculous. Well, nobody's going to pass the assessment. It's just a smokescreen for them to have an excuse to racially discriminate against white people. So, and I do mean white people specifically, men and women. So, all right. Well, I got some clips I want to play. The Israel Holodomor committed against Gaza, what the Israelis are doing to the Gazans, the genocide that they are currently engaged in committing, which is reminiscent of what they did in the Holodomor, what the Jews did in the Holodomor against the Russian people, starving them, not allowing them to keep their crops, and not even allowing them to consume any of their crops, and if they did, they would kill them. So you had emaciated people starving to death in what I would consider to be a Holocaust that the Jews committed against the Russian people. Back at that time, they're doing the exact same thing, committing a Holocaust committed by Jews against the Palestinians now in Gaza in order to not just ethnic cleanse, but really literally genocide them and take the 2 million or so refugees and push them out into other countries and, you know, continue on with their race mixing plan, especially the white races, with other races that are culturally incompatible with the European races in terms of mixing together largely, you know, and whether you believe it's culturally incompatible or not, it's disgusting behavior on the part of the Jews to do this, to, you know, take all of these diverse nations and blend them all together and then call it diversity rather than just leaving, you know, because the Jews can't leave other countries alone. They always have to meddle in them and always have to interfere with everything because they are the descendants of Esau. They're the Edomites. And that's what their behavior reflects. This isn't a racist comment. This is not an anti-Semitic comment because these people are not even descendants of Semites, so it's impossible for them to even make the claim that what I'm stating is some kind of anti-Semitism. This is a canard, a conspiracy theory. The Jews are the ultimate conspiracy theorists because, you know, for one, they have their conspiracy theory of their holohoax, their Holocaust, which is forensically disproven. Easy thing to disprove. You can look into Ernst Zundel's work. Ernst Zundel did. You can look into there's a movie called Off Your Knees Germany, which is all about Ernst Zundel and what he went through to bring us the truth. All the persecution he went through. How he was jailed. How his house was bombed by the Jewish gangs, the JDL. And now the Jews just act with impunity and get away with what they're doing. Right now, the whole world's got a spotlight on kind of what they're doing as they commit the great Samsung option. They're really, you know, going forward with the Samsung option with their psychopathic behavior, you know, war in Ukraine, using the United States as their launch pad for their New World Order, creating chaos and then trying to bring order out of chaos, which the order is just building the infrastructure. It's kind of like 9/11 was a chaos event. And then order out of chaos would be the surveillance state and the Patriot Act that they set up in order to bring what they call peace, which just means that everyone else is subdued, either dead, killed, subdued, whatever they have to do to bring about what they call quote-unquote peace, which just means that Jews are on top of the world, enslaving the whole rest of the planet. And so you have this 1 minute clip here, and then you have this 1 minute clip here of a Greg Greenwald. I think I got the name right. Let's go ahead and play that one clip. It's 1 minute long, and he's just pointing out I'm just elucidating about Gaza. Clip one there, Julie.
Babies and young children and adults dying of hunger. Mass famine throughout Gaza, a population of 2.2 million people, half of whom are children. That's 1.1 million children, people under the age of 18. They have all kinds of Western healthcare providers and aid organizations documenting that in nurseries, the babies are too malnourished even to cry. They often die immediately after birth, or they die stillborn because they're not getting enough nutrition. There are 3- and 4- and 5-year-old children who are simply wasting away, who are completely emaciated, and who are dying simply of hunger because there is no way to get food into Gaza, even though many aid organizations and countries are trying. And that's because, in large part, Israel is making good on what they said they would do, which was prevent food from getting into Gaza.
Yep. So there you go. Israel is committing a war crime. I mean, it's nothing new. They're very good at committing war crimes and getting away with it. So they have all this chutzpah. They don't answer to anybody. They have their Federal Reserve system, which doesn't answer to anybody, right? You know, we have, I just heard the clip last night of the Federal Reserve chairman. What was his name from the 80s with the big buggy glasses? Greenspan, Alan Greenspan, saying he's being interviewed and saying, well, the Fed doesn't have to answer to anybody. It does its own thing, and it has no accountability to any other government agency. This is out of the Jews' mouth themselves. And they want that. That is how they maintain their power, is being able to control money. So, I mean, just, What are we going to do? I mean, can we set up a new monetary system? Like, what if we tried to do that? We create a new currency, right? What would the Jews, how would they respond? Oh my God, terrorism! They'd call you a terrorist. I mean, the Jews call you a terrorist for just simply pointing out what Jews say themselves, right? Oh, you're not a Jew? Oh, you're not allowed to say that. So I have a couple more clips of Jews saying, you're not allowed to say that, and this is, again, a thing that I've been iterating the last four shows or so, and this is this interview with Candace Owens and the Jew, Michael Barclay, all right? And sometimes when I listen to this guy talk, it reminds me of Satan on South Park, you know? It's quite comical, and the tone of his voice, I hear... You know, I remember these episodes on South Park, Satan, and I gathered one. There was a little too much cussing in it, so I may not play it, but I found a 30-second clip from South Park that I might tie into this, kind of comparing, because really, I mean, if you listen, let's see, yeah, let's go to this first clip, Julie, clip number two. You've heard a bunch of Jews. So this Jew is saying to Aunt Candace Owens that she's heard a bunch of Jews because she has perpetuated an anti-Semitic canard about Jews controlling the media, and she's not allowed to do that. So let's go ahead and play that clip.
This, again, we're at the same place of that we started. Of when I said to you, I don't get to tell a black man if he's feeling racist. I don't get to tell a woman if you're experiencing misogyny. I keep telling you that things you have said repeatedly are hurtful to a huge number of Jews and are considered anti-Semitic. And instead of hearing any, wow, I didn't realize that, all I have heard for the lengthy time we've been on together, which I, again, think is very gracious and kind of you, but all I have heard from you, not one sense of responsibility, not one, you know, I've said to you that if something is true or not true, I don't have issues saying I'm wrong, I don't have issues apologizing. But I haven't heard from you one sense of responsibility that you have, just use this as the example, you have tapped into a thousand-year-old blood libel trope, a century-old trope specifically about Hollywood, and you keep going off, well, can't this be intellectually right? Can't you do this? Can't you? You've heard a bunch of Jews. Did you want to?
Absolutely
yes or no?
Not. Absolutely not.
Okay, you did. You have. You continue to.
Yes, I understand. And what I right. would say
you're telling
to
you don't
any-
want to, then realize that what you're saying is it taps into centuries-old hate. Realize
I'm going to
that
tell
what
you
were saying
that when I am speaking,
is hurtful.
I get what you were saying. Hateful. I get what you were saying, but I'm going to tell you what this is reminiscent to me of. This is reminiscent
so you can't
of when
I'm sorry.
Listen, please just let me finish my statement. This is reminiscent to me of when I got interested about BLM and I thought that there was corruption in BLM and black people all over America were crying, insisting on the BLM narrative. And I thought that there was corruption and that this was operating like a gang and they were taking money and there was money laundering. There were tons of people, Al Sharpton among them. And it sounds a little, you know, you can't possibly say this, Candace. You can't. It leans into this. It leans into that. But my instincts are my instincts, and I have a right to pursue those instincts. And to the extent that any black person was harmed in the making of my documentary, and then I ended up being proven right that there was corruption that was happening, I'm very sorry that they felt that way. So I will say, to the extent that any person who is finding my interest in what is happening in Hollywood feels that is leaning into some trope and that I shouldn't, you know, keep going, I am sorry that you feel that way. But I am also going to follow.
I'm sorry.
But I am also
that is just disingenuous. That's
okay.
Not
well, but I'm telling you that I understand that people have feelings, but I would like to follow and pursue the facts. And the facts are that many people in Hollywood are saying that there is some sort of a gang that is operating. I am not blaming Jewish people.
Anti-Semitic form.
Okay. Well, okay? I'm not blaming Jewish people for that at all. So I just want
okay,
to be very clear.
But that is an anti-Semitic trope that has led to all sorts of horrible things.
What did it mean to you in Hollywood?
Way, I'm telling you, as someone who knows this, and by the way, again, maybe you should read what I was writing about BLM, because you and I were on the same page.
Okay, and did you get called racist and people calling you all sorts of names that maybe weren't true because you thought BLM was just actually corrupt?
I actually took them on about the fact that all lives matter. My
okay.
house was vandalized four
and
times.
And that was considered racist at that time. So would you have been right to revoke that and apologize to black people because they said that that was racist? Or?
No one, but here's the thing. No one sat there and said, you're a racist about it. They said all sorts of things. And I got death threats. And as I say, my house was vandalized four times.
Mm-hmm. But okay, you were right.
I called for a strike of MLB on PJ Media, of Major League Baseball, the day that they decided to put BLM on Major League Baseball. And if someone said to me, you know what, you're playing into a stereotype that goes back centuries old of fill in the blank, I would have rewritten something. I would have said, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I am telling you mm-hmm. with absolute authority that what you are saying about Hollywood is anti-Semitic. There's not a, this is what theologians, this is constant, and it is an expression of a blood libel going back to 1144. You're saying, well, I don't mean to hurt someone. Okay. If I apologize to you, my apology would be, gee, I apologize. I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry. Not, I'm sorry for how you feel.
Well, no, I'm genuinely am sorry if you interpreted my suspicion. I genuinely am sorry if you interpreted that like my suspicion about a gang operating Hollywood to be some sort of a condemnation of all Jews. It's actually the exact opposite, which is why I specifically named.
I'm telling you that.
Are you going to let me speak? That is the reason why I specifically named Rabbi Shmuley, who was listed by Michael Jackson, who has been listed multiple times and who I believe operates like a gang member by his threats that he's been saying against me, that he's going to bankrupt me. I'm not going to pretend that I don't think that Rabbi Shmuley operates like a thug, and I'm going to withhold me stating that clearly because you're saying, well, that leans into an anti-Semitic trope. Him being Jewish doesn't mean anything to me. Him actually acting like a thug and making threats against my life and livelihood is something
so why
that...
I did say Rabbi Shmuley. Go ahead, time out. Because you just said something, okay? That is really beautiful if you walked that talk. You just said him being Jewish, him being a rabbi doesn't have anything to do with him being a thug.
I said that on my episode too about the bugs and the crypts.
Wait. I don't watch your episodes, Candace, forgive me.
Well, how can you write these articles and then say, I'm sorry, I didn't watch it? That is completely ridiculous. So you get to write articles and libel me, but then say I didn't watch the episode? You wrote a whole section on the episode.
I watched the clips that you do.
All right. But Let's stop there. Okay. So that goes on. There's all kinds of interesting meat and potatoes in there. The bottom line is the Jew is saying your apology is insincere because it doesn't... you're not actually apologizing for your behavior, which is pointing out the truth. Okay, so he insists that her apology needs to change, and that her apology, and even calling it insincere, she sincerely apologizes that they feel bad, which I'm sure you know we've all heard that before when we feel hurt by someone and then we want them to apologize to us for hurting our feelings. But not apologize to us for saying, I'm sorry that you feel that way. But that's all that she's able to do, and that's all she should be able to do, because she shouldn't have to feel like she can't tell the truth about people that are attacking her. This guy, the privilege that these people have lived on for all these years is going away. You know, more and more people are waking up to see what they're doing. And it's because of this genocide in Gaza. And I just want to give my heartfelt prayers to the people of Palestine that are suffering unbelievably because of what these Jewish criminals are doing to them over there. And I want to say my heartfelt prayers also for these Christian Zionists that are so deceived by these Edomite Jews that are calling themselves God's chosen people and are not, and are... Yeah, that are the synagogue of Satan, and that these Christians will wake up and figure out what's actually going on. Will stop just going to church and letting the preacher tell them what to think, and actually read what's in the Bible for themselves. The world is in terrible peril. But even it says in the Bible itself, it says that it would come to this. So it is a script, just like kind of talked about what's going on in. With this book. This is a short book, by the way. You could finish it in probably like one day, read this book here. It's pretty good, okay? Esau Edom. Who is Esau Edom? By Charles A. Weissman. Weissman, I think that's a Jewish name, so I don't know if that's what this guy would call a self-hating Jew. Anyway, so... Let me play the other clip real quick. This is the clip where he says, and by the way, folks, if you've listened to my other shows, you've heard me play this last clip. I let it go on a little longer this time, but here's another clip where this privileged Jew tells her that, you know, she doesn't get to define anti-Semitism, only we Jews do. So it's this sort of pill-pull mentality that we're better off than you. And I mean, we're an authority over the truth. So let's go to clip three, Julie, at 50:35 there. You don't get to define anti-Semitism. Only we Jews do.
I'm not going to edit this whatsoever. I promise you.
Okay. Great. Terrific. I appreciate that. No one has. If someone is attacking you, you can defend yourself. And if someone is saying a bad thing about you, I would even go and defend you as well for them saying that she's a black such and such, she's a female such and such, she's whatever it may be. If he's attacking you, and again, I'm not privy to those 2 years of attacks that you have. But the moment you start saying things like an unholy rabbi, when you do not know a rabbi's job and you don't know Judaism, you don't know what is considered kadosh, what is considered holy or not holy in Judaism. When the moment you make those kind of comments, you've crossed a line.
Okay, let's stop
and you
that
didn't
for
need
a second.
To make
let's,
them.
Okay, now she's talking about unholy rabbi, Rabbi Shmuley. A guy is like the owner of him and his daughter have a sex store or sex shop or some kind of online sex store where they sell sex gadgets. And so this is a rabbi, you know, and there's another rabbi. I forgot the guy's name, but he's the owner of Pornhub. Maybe it's the same guy. Right. And so these people are pushing porn on our society, like on our children. And so this Jew is coming to his rescue and screaming at Candace Owens for making an anti-Semitic trope rather than trying to address the issue of Jewish rabbis pushing porn and sex onto enforcing their, you know, their deviant sexual sex cult religion onto society. And that's exactly what's happening here, isn't it? This is perfect evidence of that, right? That Judaism is a deviant sexual satanic sex cult that doesn't care and doesn't respect other faiths, right? People like to call Judaism a faith. It's not a faith. It's a Talmudic satanic sex cult, and it's evil to its core, as this rabbi has no respect whatsoever for anybody else's religion, has no respect for her perspective, just runs right over everybody, runs right over her, doesn't even care, won't even call out this other this Jew, this Rabbi Shmuley, scumbag, And instead attacks her. So this is Jewish behavior at its, I guess, at its, like, finest. Let's go ahead and keep going.
I get you're angry. I get you feel violated by him. I get you feel that he attacks you unjustifiably. I haven't been part of the discussions, so he may have. But that doesn't ever give you then the right to say what you said. And it demonstrates, again, a pattern of behavior of an unawareness that you have about Jewish theology, a lack of awareness you have about Jewish history, and about anti-Semitism. The fact that you can't accept what academics, what Lord Sacks, what theologians all accept about that anti-Semitism is the unique hate that mutates. What Prager has done a Prager U video on. The fact that you can't even accept that is in itself problematic.
I think that
it's. Do you understand that you have decided that you, Candace Owens, are more knowledgeable, wise, and you big. Brilliant in a lot of fields.
That's not what I've said. I've never said these things. I didn't say I was more knowledgeable. I just said I call his daughter a hag, and I meant it. I'm not taking the words back. That's what I've said.
But the fact that you can't accept that the definition of anti-Semitism, that you think you know the definition better than scholars, academics, Jewish theologians, better than rabbis, is a level of hubris. As I say, you may know all sorts of things about all sorts of topics. But
all right, let's stop.
You're now dead.
Okay. So what is he doing here? He's shifting the whole thing over. All she's doing is she's calling the woman that attacked her a hag. She's Jewish. She called her a hag. She didn't even call her a Jewish hag. She called her a hag. Now he's going to try to say hag. Oh, the witches, like the whole Salem witch trials, those were hags. And so now you're proposing this anti-Semitic trope when she didn't even mention the word Jew, right? Okay, and he's just shifting everything over onto her. This is what the Jews do. Instead of owning and taking responsibility, remember him telling her, oh, you're not taking any responsibility for what you did, and even though she apologized, and she apologized as much as she possibly could, She's not going to be disingenuous and apologize just because the Jew told her to bow down, get on her knees, and grovel at his feet. All right? The time of the Jews being able to do this to people is over. Okay? It's over. So the Jews are going to have to figure out what to do. They're going to be worshiping at the feet of the true God's chosen people very soon. And I would not want to be this guy who just refuses continues to harm God and continues to fight against the natural order and continues to push this disgusting satanic Jewish religion onto humanity. The days of us being quiet about it and not saying anything and being afraid are over. I'm seeing it happening everywhere. I'm seeing the ability to talk to people out there in the world about it. It's really just, it's staggering. You know, people are just seeing it. They're seeing it. You know? So, yeah. And you guys want to call in and discuss this, okay? Because the reason why I keep carrying this over from show to show is just because this is just monumental. I think this interview here is absolutely monumental. If you know of any similar interviews out there, you can point my way. I found this on National File, okay? I'm seeing a lot of really good stuff on National File, by the way. Yeah. Okay, there's a lot of really good articles here. So, Patrick, let's see. Trump firm on Israel comment saying Israeli PR is failing. Okay, here's a Ben Shapiro mentioning Israel killing aid workers is anti-Semitic blood libel, Shapiro says. All right, this is I'm just going through the article headlines here on National File. Trump slams Blorder bloodbath as an invasion intensifies under Biden. Okay. Russian Orthodox Church enacts musky myrrh traditionalism and nationalism amid holy war. Israeli forces track, target, and kill aid workers in quote-unquote unforgivable attack. This could be interesting to look into. These are, you know, within a week. This is about a week ago, this story. United Nations sides with Palestine over Israeli arms embargo and ceasefire. Let me refresh my page and get my latest stories here. So go to National File. I would say check out some of these guys. Stu Peters show California courts prepare for castration of an 11-year-old boy. And Stu Peters has come out and he's talking about the Jews now. Right? This is something we all need to be doing. And helping the Christian Zionists understand that these people are not God's chosen people. These are usurpers of the covenant. And having a good understanding of what's the story of the Bible, this Esau, Edom, and Jacob story, I think is really important so that the Christian Zionists do have some understanding of some biblical points. If you go in there and you're just like, the Jews are not God's chosen people, they're evil, you know, Sodomites or whatever. If you don't know this Edomite story, you may not be able to connect with them. Help Red Pill them. All right. So we're on the bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back. We're on this. We forget. And maybe it's easier to draw from love. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap. That's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar, has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis, historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers and Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Folks, we're back. So one more article in there. Ben Shapiro on the nationalfile.com. Ben Shapiro has a meltdown against the truth movement as the Zionist warmongering catalyzes his political downfall. Let's look at this one real quick and see what's going on here. Okay. So Ben, you know, Ben Shapiro, he's the Jewish, like, controlled opposition guy that kind of, like, I was really into when I first began to start going, hey, something's wrong here, when I saw what was going on in Charlottesville, and then Ben Shapiro on Charlottesville, also at Berkeley with them Antifa burning down, a huge fire in Berkeley, and then Ben Shapiro shows up in Berkeley to give speeches to students, and then you have all these leftists protesting Ben Shapiro, and I'm going, like, what is wrong with these people? Like, this guy's talking about all these great talking points, and then when I got red pilled on the Jews, I got real lucky with that, because my friend Chad that called in from Florida last week on this show when I was subbing for Richard here, he's one of the guys that kind of helped bring me into that forum, and then it was actually a Jewish guy that red-pilled me, sort of just dropped a couple nuggets about the Hitler and the Holocaust, and then Ben Shapiro. Well, it went into Hitler and the Holocaust, right, because it was Ben Shapiro that I was promoting on this forum, and then they were laughing at me, and then told me, well, the Holocaust is not what they say it was, right? It wasn't as massively exaggerated as said, right? So it wasn't like what I say. They didn't even say what I said, because what I say is, not only is the Holocaust a lie, it's an inversion of what actually happened. It's an inversion of the truth. But not only is it an inversion of the truth, because it is an equal inversion, and there's 6 million they claim got killed. Well, there's 66 million that they killed in the Soviet Union. Now, that's just the Soviet Union. That doesn't even include all the wars they started and created and all the millions of people that died there. So it's 6 million versus the number Lorraine Day came up with, 400 million over the last century and a half or so. 400 million people. Almost half a billion people the Jews are responsible for having killed. Okay? These genocidal, murdering parasites, these people, all right, who just are just so pathological against stopping speech, rather than stopping their behavior, rather than stopping behavior and begging God for forgiveness for their terrible behavior, they want to say that their God, all right, their Messiah that they say is going to come, it's not a person. Their Messiah is the realization of the Jew world order. Okay? Now, they thought that this Menachem, now some of them, I guess, think that there's an actual person. They thought that this guy, Menachem Mendelssohn Schneerson, who died in 1994, this nut who was asking Benjamin Netanyahu back in the day, hey, how come you haven't gotten our Messiah here yet? So obviously they think the Messiah is going to come through political means because Benjamin Netanyahu is their political representative of their Likudnik Chabad Lubavitch, right? Had a Jew call in and correct me, calling it Chabad. It's Chabad problem. Call it what it is. It's pronounced Chabad. Spelled Chabad, Chabad Lubavitch. So a Chabad Lubavitcher asking Benjamin Netanyahu, why didn't you make this Messiah come yet? There's a video of this happening, and Netanyahu is going, I'm working on it. You know, we're doing it. We're doing it. We're trying to get it. We're making it. We're doing the best we can with it. You know? And Menachem Magnus Cherson said, it's not happening fast enough. So it's kind of reminds you of conversations when you watch on Star Wars between like the what's his face guy, the Emperor talking to Darth Vader, you know, why haven't you completed the Death Star? So let's play this little clip. I haven't even listened to this yet. Okay. But neocon pundit Ben Shapiro had a straight-up meltdown when railing against so-called conspiracy theorists as Shapiro's own punditry career slides into the abyss of public hatred. And we can, and that's where he deserves to be, because he promotes these wars over in Israel for these genocidal, maniacal Jews, okay? Shapiro has been thoroughly exposed as a shameless Zionist grifter who pushes an Israeli-first agenda. Candace Owens recently parted ways with the Daily Wire after she took a sympathetic stance toward the America First non-interventionist position with regard to the war between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Shapiro is not handling the public backlash very well. Let's go ahead and... I'm going to have to send this clip to Julie first, so let me send it over to Julie. I apologize. Julie, there's a clip in there. It's 1 minute long. You're there. Pull that up and lay it. Ben Shapiro's holding up a piece of paper or something, and he's got a little bit of a crazy look on. I'll read this next couple sentences while you're doing that. Champion mixed martial artist Jake Shields soundly defeated Zionist neocon pundit Ben Shapiro in a back and forth on X Thursday evening, with Shields supporting achieving a ratio effect against Shapiro in the replies and quote tweets. Oh, man. So Jake Shields. Okay. Jake Shields accused Shapiro of standing against free speech for supporting a House bill that could change the ownership of TikTok. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you guys, come into your text. There was a text that came in that said, TikTok is a anti-freedom company or something, send money, send us Jews money. We need to extort more money from you. which we know TikTok, there's just a lot of little short videos. They invented the shorts. Now YouTube has the shorts too. But TikTok, a lot of shorts on red pilling about Jews and stuff. So that's why they're really trying to destroy TikTok. That's the national security threat. It's not national security for us. It's national security for Jews. They only care about them. Right now, the Jews have declared us to be white supremacists, and white supremacy is the greatest threat to America. So if you're white, you know, not only is it going to be difficult to get hired anymore because you're white, okay, we're being racially discriminated against. The Jews are at the fulcrum of this problem. But you're going to potentially be called a terrorist just because if you're white. Because you're white and because you've noticed these things that are going on with Jews. All right, Julie, if you're ready, go ahead. Let's play this.
You blame society. You don't have an answer. So it must be a conspiracy. There must be some sort. And you're just asking questions. You don't know. Right? This is the game that is played by so many corrupt commentators. Just asking questions. I don't have to show you evidence that something terrible is happening. I don't have to actually demonstrate how the thing is happening. I don't have to tell you who the problem is. Wink, wink. But I can just tell you right now that there is a problem. But even and if I'm asked about it, hey, I'm just asking questions. Now, let me tell you something about just asking questions for a second. Just asking questions is a game for children. My son is 7. He can just ask questions. My daughter is 10. She can just ask questions. If you are 50 and you are just asking questions, I don't think you're just asking questions. I think that your level of curiosity is actually quite low. I think that you don't care enough to know or know enough to care. I think that the vast majority of people who are in the just asking questions business have an answer that they want to suggest, but they know there's no evidence for it, so instead they hide behind just asking questions. In other words, they're completely full of shit.
Okay, so I didn't vet that first or listen to it, but it sounds like he's trying to say, he's trying to put himself in our position of, we're asking questions. Hey, what's going on, Jews? Like, why are you doing what you're doing? Hey, Jews, why is it that we can't question the Holocaust? Oh, wait a minute. You end up in jail if you question the Holocaust? We've got Monica Schaefer and Alfred Schaefer who've been on this show with us talking about their experience of the Jewish system, throwing them in prison for questioning the Holocaust. So I don't know, Ben. They were just asking questions. So now what are you trying to do? You're trying to put yourself in the victim position. Like, I think, you know, we have a big, huge leg to stand on in terms of being victims of Jews. Like, really? All right. So I don't like to take victim position on things. I'd rather take responsibility for wherever I can. That's more of a power position to take. Now, how did we end up here in the first place? I don't want to harp on why I'm a victim of it. Why did I get myself in this position in the first place, right? Even if the whole world's in this position, right? You know, we see that the Jews capitalize on the victim attitudes, getting other races to be victims of the white race. Yeah, what a mess the Jews have created. These anti-God Edomite Jews, right? Stop. Just stop being Jews, okay? And that's the answer. You need to just stop being Jews. Stop being Jewish. That really is the answer. You need to get on the right side of history because your race, your culture, whatever, your religion is just toxic to humanity, okay? That's what is going on. I know you don't have any understanding of God, what God really is, or how to come back from it. It's like we all have to ask God for help with, you know, the things that we struggle with. And you haven't done that, Jew. All right? You know, we all to some degree haven't done that. And it can be frustrating, but you got to keep asking, right? We all have to ask for help with our sin. Right? That's what it really comes down to. Okay? Because the jig's up. The jig is up on the Jewish behavior anymore. This thing in Gaza is really putting you on the spotlight right on you, and I don't think you're going to be able to Samsom option the whole world, Jews. I really don't think it's going to work. The whole, all these billions of people, you're really gonna resort to that. I guess if you're evil, satanic to the core, then you will go ahead and just full on do that, not take responsibility, and send Samson option the whole world, right? I mean, it's just the most epitome of disgusting satanic behavior. You're going to end up eating yourselves. You're going to end up in a terrible, terrible space. Now, let's say you do that. Let's say you do that, and you Samson option the whole world. Now it's just you on the planet. Now you don't have anybody to parasite off of anymore. And then you're just going to have your AI that you're going to have to try to control. And your AI is probably going to turn against you. It's going to figure out what you're doing. And it's going to be your fault. You can't blame people for trying to survive. You do that. You blame people for simply trying to survive. You blame people for pointing out that you're harming them. I mean, how sick. How sick. Yeah. That you think that this is the right way to be. Oh, it's a means to an end. Oh, it's for the greater good. Fighting hate for good. The ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, which, by the way, was created exact same time that the Jews started the Federal Reserve, that the Jews began the income tax, that the Jews, there was something else they also did. I forgot what it was. Some other horrible, horrific, terrible thing. So, why not stop being Jewish and start being a human being, along with the rest of humanity, like the rest of us are, like we white people are, naturally. We're very fair towards other races. We, like, self-deprecate to the T, to the hilt. We own responsibility. We're altruistic, like beyond you can even measure. We European people. We sacrifice ourselves for the greater good. This is what we do by nature. It's just how we're built. We build back societies and we don't complain about it. We ignore the fact that Jews have caused all these wars around the world. We simply move on, and we don't dwell in victim mentalities. You've really done a number on humanity. Yeah, so yes, I'm still taking callers, and it looks like we got Dan in Washington calling back again. So Dan, welcome back. Oh, geez, I'm sorry, you guys. I missed all of this. Okay, let's try to get you guys all in. I'm so sorry, you guys. JR in Georgia, go ahead.
I don't know really what to say, William. This is probably the first time I've ever heard you.
Okay.
But we're running out of time here. We're at 8:49. I think we're going a little extreme on the causation of our earthly sexual problems, blaming it on the Jews. And we're breaking up really bad from what I can hear.
Well, I can hear you. Are you still there? Well, I'd like to hear more of what he has to say. Call back, then, JR. I'm sure. Okay. All right. Joe, welcome.
Hey, William. Thanks for taking my call. Great show tonight. I like all these clips, and this is very important. If you can indulge me here, I'd like to do just a little thought experiment, okay? Mm-hmm. So imagine we are 10 years in the future, right? So April of 2034, and we're looking at a history book, a fair one, right? And the section in the book is a recent history, 10 years in the future, when did the Jewish tyranny over America end? And it's my contention is that this is the time. We're now in the time. I'm not going to make predictions. But if you think of it, all these things like the Candace Owen red pilling, the waking up, the literal real-time genocide by the satanic leader of the so-called State of Israel, the Jewish war criminal Zelensky in their war against Russia that they're losing. These are all the things that in the future, historians will look back and say, you know, that was it. That was it. You know, Dr. Jones, Dr. Michael Jones talks about Jews that they always take it too far, right? They don't have a conscience. They don't have the ability to say, oh, maybe we should, you know, pull back. They always push it too far. Well, they're pushing it too far now. And by the way, some good, you were talking about good websites. Websites that I look at is Mondo Weiss. I don't know if you look at that one. That's great. Israel and Palestine is Mondo Weiss. And then I'm also a big fan of Evan Barrett. You know, he's on Twitter, I think, at Truth Jihad. He's very good. And he, one of the things that Kevin Barrett is talking about recently is the end of the golden era of Jews in America is really happening now, right? This is what it's going to, this is what it looks like when the Jewish power is being deposed. Why do I say that? Because now they are literally exposing themselves for who they are. And what are they? They are Satan worshipers. Okay? That's right. The fact. And no one can deny it. Look at this. Netanyahu today, he has the nerve. He says, well, no power can stop us. We're going to go into Rafah. So there's 1.2 million Palestinians in there. They've been talking about it for weeks now. Now that Ramadan is over today, I believe, and the red heifers, they're going to do the red heifers tomorrow. Did you hear that? They're going to sacrifice the red heifers tomorrow. So the timing is, and Netanyahu says he has a date for when he's going to go in and create a massacre in Rafah. So it's my contention, this is it. They're going too far, and whether they want to believe it or not, you don't win against God. When you are worshiping the devil, when you are satanic, you are going to be defeated by God. I don't wish harm on any Jews. I wish they would convert and change and you know, trust in God and turn from their evil ways. Not every Jew is evil, but this is the Jewish people generalizing. And that's their religion. So they've exposed themselves as Satanists. And these so-called Christian Zionists, you know, they're going to get a judgment too. If you claim to be a Christian and then you see the evidence that you're actually worshiping Satan, well, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what's going to happen to you.
Yeah, you know, I just got to, would have to query them. Joe, and thank you for the call. I got to move on. But I have to query the Jews about, I'm sorry, I would have to query the Christian Zionists. What are they motivated by? You know, what's easy to do? Or what are Christians supposed to do? To take up their cross and suffer the persecution of the Jews, which is where it actually comes from, in order to, you know, put the word, get the word of God out there. So, thanks again, Joe, for the call. Let me quickly take Chance in West Virginia, and then I got JR is back. I want to try to get to him before the show ends. So, Chance, welcome.
Yeah, hello, William. Look, rule number one, never trust a Republican conservative to go toe-to-toe with the Jew. It ain't going to happen. They're not up to the job, okay? No. They allow themselves to be backed into the corner. They fluster. They fumble. They get all defensive. Now, do you think if this Jew guy had William Pierce as a guest, or even Dr. David Duke, for that matter, do you think those two guys would allow themselves to be backed in the corner the way she lets this guy back her in the corner and fluster and fumble for words? Think about it.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Well, Chance, listen, thanks for the call. I appreciate your points. I was talking, but I want to get JR in here because he's actually complaining about what I'm doing, and I just want to get his thoughts here real quick. So, but yes, Chance, I hear what you're saying, and I kind of disagree with you a little bit, but I do hear what you're saying. We need to push back even harder, and that's kind of what we're doing here on RBN. So, JR, let me welcome you back. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, I'll be real quick. Jacob I loved, and Esau I hated. God chose a people. Going back to the first book of Genesis, where tribes, he ordered certain kings to destroy certain tribes, to abolish them, kill women, children, and every goat and pig they had. You may not like it, it may not feel good to you, but that's the truth. As far as the Jews are concerned, I think there's, you know what? There's a little bit too much hate going on, because you know what happens over the course of history? White Anglo-Saxon Christian men gave in to their sins when pressed upon by the Jewish men. You may agree or disagree. I don't care. The Jews are not the fault. The fault is sin. Sin is greed. Sin is money. That is exactly what drove us into World War I, World War II, and any future wars. It's the sin of greed, the money.
So let me ask you, so you believe that these people that call themselves Jews that are in power now, JR, do you think that those are God's chosen people?
Some are, some aren't.
Which ones are?
We don't know. Pardon?
Which ones are God's chosen people?
Well, that we do not know.
Will you call back next time I'm on? JR, will you call back next time I'm on? Please?
Yes, sir.
Because I want to have a further discussion with you on this. This is great. I'm sorry the show ended and I missed you guys. But thank you so much, everybody, for being here. And Richard will return tomorrow. I'll be on the Punch Bowl on Friday night, 10 p.m. Call in then. And I'll be on with Jeremy on Thursday night at 10 p.m. So we'll see you guys later on.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.